those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. Those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. He is the way and the truth, and in Him ends the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. If we say that we know Him, but we don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the light. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the light. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light.
Well, good morning, friends. Sorry, I have not been greeting you. I'm trying to make some adjustments. I made one little change to my computer, and that resulted in changing up my studio a little bit. So I'm trying to make some corrections on the fly here, and part of it affected me yesterday, and but that's all right. We will make it through. We will be okay, and it's something that you will feel better about, because I was kind of pausing in everything I was doing, and so now I've reloaded my cameras, and I seem to not have the staggered delay that I had going on there for a little while. So much happier about that. Lost a few angles, but you don't care about any of that stuff, other than I'm telling you that because you just need to know what sometimes it takes to put this together as a one-man band in this, what I affectionately call my little studio. It's my office here at Veracity Chapel in Morrill, Maine. And I say good morning to all of you scattered from Freedom to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, to Rhode Island, to Reedville, Virginia, and any other place in the world that may be joining us. We're just glad that you're here. Searsport, you all know where you live. The folks that log in, that have been part of the faithful lot here over the last few years. Just glad to have you with me. We today are in Luke chapter 11. This picks up in what is often called the Lord's Prayer, and really, we could say it's more of a model prayer and something for us to consider how we should pray. And so in Luke chapter 11, and we'll see how much I teach through here this morning. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. How do we learn how to pray? We learn how to pray by watching others pray. We learn how to pray by reading prayers. We learn how to pray by observing how others pray. And that's why it's important. Some people say, well, I don't want to go to the prayer gathering because I don't know what to say. Don't say anything. Be there. Be present. Learn. Watch. Listen. Observe. I think that there's at least one of our listeners that a few years ago would have said, look, I really don't know how to pray like that. And kind of a new thing to me to be a part of praying together with other people. But this individual came and observed, learned, and prayed eventually. And I was part of a meeting several years ago with a group of people. And I said, let's just pray around the room. I said, if you're not comfortable praying, that's fine. Just don't say anything, or just quietly go, I pass. And because some people just are deathly afraid of praying in front of other people or even talking in front of other people. But this one individual prayed out loud and told me after, that was the first time in my life, and she's probably 40-ish at that point in her life, and said, this is the first time, and I've been a Christian most of my life, and it was the first time I've ever prayed out loud in front of other people. So to learn how to pray, Jesus was praying in a certain place, it says, and when he finished, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. There are things part and parcel to the Christian life. Sorry, I get reading the comments here. Things that are part and parcel to the Christian life that we just need to do. It's a part of being a Christian. Prayer is one of those things. Sometimes I am amazed at people who will say, I don't like to pray, or I, what are you talking about? Prayer is talking to you. You don't like to talk with God. God is your Father. God, the lover of your soul. God, the one who is with you, the one who provides for you, the one who protects you, the one who cares for you, the one who heals you. This God, he invites us to pray. So I want to just remind us that there are certain things that Christians ought to do. Prayer is one of them. And yes, working for the church, cooking cinnamon rolls, you don't cook cinnamon rolls, you bake cinnamon rolls, just for the record. I want you to know that technical detail of which I am aware. Shouldn't be talking about that because I'm back on my keto diet. Building things, constructing things, doing kids' ministries, yada, 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 so on and so forth. All these things we can do, but anybody can do those things. There are things that are part of the Christian life that we just need to learn. And so don't feel beat up by me this morning. That isn't my goal, to beat up on you. My goal is to encourage you. My goal is to inspire you. My goal is to inflame you to prayer, and as well myself to be inflamed and encouraged and inspired and admonished to pray, simply out of the example of the disciples here. When Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he finished praying, one of the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. There are churches that have schools of prayer. Now, often these churches, and it shouldn't be this way, it seems like often they are more Pentecostal leaning in their makeup, that will have schools of prayer. Well, why don't the rest of us have schools of prayer? We're not a charismatic group here. We're not a Pentecostal group. We're not opposed to people who are. We're just not. That's not our particular DNA here. But all of us can pray. And so when I get together with pastors, some have a Pentecostal background and they have a particular twang to their prayers. I'm blessed by that. I'm encouraged by that. In fact, sometimes I'm downright convicted at the passion with which some people pray. Prayer is a Christian thing. It's not a charismatic thing, a Pentecostal thing, as opposed to a Baptist thing. It's a Christian thing. And John taught his disciples, John the Baptist, they're referencing here in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. John taught his disciples, Jesus now will teach his disciples in what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to step away from the microphone for just a moment. Sometimes there's a little sneeze or a little sniffle there, and that was the case, so I'm back on. Here's what we read. Verse 2, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now, if I really want to do good justice to this, we could parse this out and spend days on this. When you say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, first part is acknowledging who is this one to whom we appeal. Who is he? Notice he is called Father. He is our Father. And to recognize him, we are invited into this proximity with God. We are invited into a place where you know, he's not just God. He's not just out there other, although he is other, utterly transcendent, utterly beyond us. He also has become to us a Father. God is our Father. And I did note over in the comments, one comment that's there, I keep in touch with Father a lot with silent prayers. The day goes by, and I love how that is stated, Priscilla, in the comments here. I keep in touch with Father a lot with silent prayer, and I've shared before, I had a friend, in fact, he'd still be a friend, he lives in Pennsylvania, and I live in Maine, and we just don't have occasion to converse really all that much. His name was Patrick, but he always talked about Father, and that really rubbed off on me, the idea of God being our Father, and to not just say, God, would you, well, that's accurate, it's true, but even more personal, God as our Father, to love him, to know him, to draw close to him as our Heavenly Father. And so that's what we do. We draw close to God as our Heavenly Father. When you pray, say, Father. How do you pray? What is your prayer language like when you address God? Is your prayer language like saying, God, Lord, Jesus, Holy Spirit? You know, just what is that like for you? And you know, I would suggest that to call him Father, a most intimate of terms. Now, some of us, and I know some of you would say, "Well, I didn't grow up with a good father. I didn't grow up with a father at all." Let this father paint the picture of what a father is really like. Don't allow your definition, your interpretation, the picture in your mind to be limited to your earthly father. Allow our Heavenly Father to begin to paint in your mind a new picture of what a father is like. Don says this, Don, our fellow administrator of this, I usually begin my prayer with Father God, and accurate. But I just encourage us to weave Father into our language, because Jesus instructed, when you pray, say, Father. Or here is Dinah Kay saying, Dear Heavenly Father. But I encourage us to think about God as Father. And then we talk to each other, even talk about what's Father telling you. And here is Jessica saying, I address him as Abba God. And Abba is a term for Father. In fact, probably the best transliteration of that word, or translation of that word into English language, is Daddy. Daddy God. And intimate. Jesus instructs that as we pray, when we address God, we learn to talk to God as Father. But then secondly, in this prayer is the next phrase, hallowed be your name. Now, hallowed is not a word that we use all that frequently in contemporary language. Let me bring up the New Living Translation. And I like how this adds meaning and insight into what hallowed means. Here it is, Father, may your name be kept holy. That is the idea of hallowed. Holy is your name. Distinct is your name. To be reverenced is your name. So it isn't just a trite thing to call him Abba God. It isn't a trite thing to call him Abba Father. When we remember his holiness. And sometimes I think we become too familiar with God. Now, you probably are thinking, aren't you being a little paradoxical here in what you're saying, or antithetical? You're saying one thing on the one hand and something else on the other. Well, yes, I think we need to practice the nearness of God. But I think we must also and always remember the holiness of God. Holiness being completely perfect in all ways. A holiness, the idea of being completely, we cannot completely render him in our minds. We can't completely understand who he is and how he works. He is transcendent in that way. Father, may your name be kept holy. So while we call him Father with this great term of endearment, we also remember that he is our Holy Father. Let me put up real fast here, and let's see what Eugene Peterson does this. Eugene Peterson says this, when you pray, say, Father, reveal who you are. Set the world right. And we'll come back and look at how Peterson renders this out, perhaps, maybe. But the idea of revealing who you are, that we would desire to get to know God better and better and better and better. I am pretty well convinced that, I'm 58 years old, so I'm going to give myself 20 more years. I might have 30. I might have 25. I might have two. I have no idea. We do not know the number of our days. Only God knows. But I am pretty well convinced of this, that what God wants me to do with my life is to continue to help people grow close to God. That is my role. That is my calling. That is my core. And what does that mean for me? That means for me learning to be in places of doing that myself. Yeah, I've spent some time in the last few weeks really thinking through what is my core, what is my call, and for me to help others learn to live the Christ life, that is my call, and to help them learn the scriptures, that is my call, to help them apply Jesus to their life, that is my call, to help us think like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to experience God more fully, to experience God more deeply, that is my call. No matter what I'm doing, that is my call. And so the core of my ministry revolves around those things. And as I look at the next 20 years, as I've said, that is what I give myself to. There are many other things, many different directions I could go. But the core of helping people understand how God reveals himself to us and to experience him more, more deeply and more awarely. There's another familiar line in this prayer. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Do we desire what God wants in our world? Do we desire what God wants in his church? Do we desire what God wants in our homes? Do we desire what God wants all across the land? Do we look for him to bring revival? Do we look to him to bring spiritual awakening? Do we look to him to be the Lord, the ruler of all things? For his kingdom come. I mean, we can make that really quite personal. Your kingdom come in how I run my day. Your kingdom come in my finances. Your kingdom come in what are my priorities. Your kingdom come in my career. Your kingdom come in my marriage. Your kingdom come in the life of the church. That friends, we should be praying madly for the church every day. That we would become aware of just how much God is wanting to do in the life of his church, and for us to be thinking about that, to see lives changed. You know, we've just celebrated a great work of God on behalf of Fairhaven Camps. But God wants to do more. What does God want to do through the church? We talk about, you know, Christian camps and various kids groups, kids ministries, and seeing the children come to Christ. That is something that is absolutely wonderful. But why don't we pray that we would see these types of things in the church? That local churches would see people coming to faith in Christ at people's living room, on people's living room sofas, or at their dining room tables, or at a table in a restaurant as they share Christ, as we share Christ with people, that we would be pointing people to Jesus. That should be our prayer. Our prayer should be that when we come into church on Sunday morning, that all of us would experience the wonder of God. We would be impacted by the work of the Spirit of God. We should be praying that way. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. But then we go to verse 3, and we have the reminder of from where our provisions come. Now, we think our provisions come from our work. Now, I want to say there are other places in scriptures that says that say if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Generally speaking, there are limitations, there are disabilities and things that keep people from the job force out there. But verse 3 reminds us that it is God who gives us our daily bread. It is God who gives us our jobs. It is God who gives us the ability to work. It is God who provides. And if we would learn to look to God. I talked to a guy who works with CEF. His name is Jonathan. And CEF, if you don't know what that is, that's Child Evangelism Fellowship. And they had the sense of the Lord prompting them to step away from CEF. And he thought, okay, that means I step away from CEF as a missionary and I go find a job. Well, I think he told me it was at least a year, maybe longer, year and a half, that he didn't get a job, and God provided more for them during that season than he had provided while he was working as a missionary. And he wasn't working because God had other works for he and his family to do. And it's his story to tell. I should have him come tell it sometime. But sometimes God calls us to step out and to trust him. And when God tells us to take a step, we need to take the step. So give us our daily bread, to be reminded that God is the one who provides for us. Now, I'm not saying to sit idly by and do nothing and say, God, pay my credit card bill this month. I'm not saying that, but maybe God directs you to say, I need you to change some things up in your life, because I want you to get a hold of some things in your soul, or I want you to get a hold of some things in your family, or I want you to make some things a little bit less important because I want to become more important to you. Sometimes God will direct people to take a step of faith like that, regardless. Whether it's you're looking for your paycheck, or whether it is looking for God to be at work in providing your job, to be reminded each day that God is the one who provides us our daily bread. Verse 4, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Now, forgive us our sins. Some of the translations that we know, let me go into the NASB. This is verse 4. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. The King James, which some of you know, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The ESV, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Some of the renderings, as you say the Lord's Prayer, would say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. Here's the question. Are we willing to forgive those who sin against us? This is a big factor. Now, for some of you, it's not a huge thing. For some, it is like the size of the world to be able to forgive somebody. It's huge. I know it is huge. I know it is not a small deal. There's another rendering of this over in Matthew chapter 6 that talks about, in fact, I'll take you there, if we don't forgive others, then perhaps God will not forgive us. Let me show you this. Matthew chapter 6 is the sister passage, is in the Synoptic Gospels. The sister passage, the similar passage, the synoptic passage to what we just read in Luke. And down at verse 14 and 15, it says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. You could stop there and try to parse that out in your mind and say, well, yeah. But then verse 15 becomes so clarifying. Because he says, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is a big deal, friends. Being able to forgive somebody else is a huge deal. And I know some people say, I could never forgive somebody that murdered my son or murdered my daughter. How could God ask us to do that? When we think of all the things that God forgives us of. And then you take the cumulative effect of all the people in the entire world who have ever lived and whoever will live, and understand that God has within his ability the desire, and within his desire, the ability to forgive all people who will confess. God desires that, and God desires for us to learn to live the same type of a way. Now, I know this is no small order. I know this is a big, tall order for us to forgive other people. So, friend, if this is an area where you struggle, say, Lord, help me to overcome my struggle. Help me to forgive this person. And I know there are cases of rape. There are cases of stealing within the family, perhaps. There are cases of incest. There are all kinds of things that are really, really difficult to forgive people for, but to come to the place in your heart where you have that willingness to forgive so that you are no longer the prisoner. That's something that we need to learn how to do. And he closes his prayer out. I'll pick back up tomorrow in verse 5. lead us not to temptation. Or in other words, keep us from the situations that would tempt us the most. And that can be kind of challenging. I was on a spiritual retreat with a few other pastors, and I went out for a walk, and the things that I found while out walking, I said that had to be absolutely the devil who placed those things there, because it was garbage off of a truck, I think, off of a garbage truck, but it was pornographic in nature. These pages strewn along the road, the place where I decided to walk, I didn't know that stuff was there. And it's like, it's just like the devil to want to throw stuff out there like that to tempt us. Lord, help us. Help us to not fall into temptation. Lord, help us to look to you as Father. Help us to reverence your name. Help us to remember that you are our provider. Help us today to remember that you forgive our sins and desire to forgive our sins and desire us to forgive others of their sins. Help us, Lord, to draw close and be like Jesus in the application of the Lord's Prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, hear our prayer. Friends, have a great day. I will see you again tomorrow. Be careful out there. It's a tad bit icy here in the Waldo County area. So if you're out and about, just be careful you don't slip and crack your head somewhere. Have a great day, everyone.